Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We're getting you ready for Pro Football's Final Four.
You know what it's going to take? 60 minutes of physical football. Our very best.
This is a conference championship week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Our 11 versus their 11 for 60 minutes.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon. A wrestling Wednesday. Oh, yeah, brother.
Thank you for being a part
it's
of
good
our
time.
Day.
All right, we got the hiring and firing cycle going around. The Detroit Lions will officially have two new coordinators that they need to hire, as Aaron Glenn has accepted the New York Jets head coaching job today. This on the heels of Ben Johnson Monday taking the Chicago Bears head coaching role. So both coordinators are out. And that ain't even the worst of it for Detroit.
No, they've also lost additional personnel.
Yeah, their defensive line coach is being hired away.
Where to? Perhaps Dusty?
Oh, the New England Patriots.
Oh.
Yeah, to be the defensive coordinator under Mike Vrabel.
Why? Because he may or may not have worked with Vrabel for 5 years?
Yep. And this goes back to, like, I hope it wasn't just that magic of having the right staff with the right personnel and things clicking. I hope that they can continue in Detroit to be as good as they have been.
That Alabama staff where you looked at the staff and you went, oh, good God.
It's really hard to do, man. It's really hard to keep it rolling, and that's going to be the task that Dan Campbell has in front of him. And look, there also is like this awareness that Ben Johnson, he could have left last year. He was the hottest name on the cycle last year. And he was like, nope, I'm going to come back. I'm going to do it. We want to make one final run at it. This year wasn't the year. And now you've got to start moving forward and looking at, all right, how does Detroit and Dan Campbell put a staff together that can maximize the talent around him? Because that's hard to do when you don't have the quarterback.
Yeah, not only that, you look at, you know, now that Glenn and Johnson are both officially gone, because you don't know, because Ben Johnson, like last year, they didn't know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at this point last year, we all thought Ben Johnson was gone.
Yeah.
Like, we thought that there was a strong chance that he was either Chicago or Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of those happened. And then he ends up back in the fold with Detroit. Now you're this far into the hiring cycle, and who do you go get?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could probably get Aaron Glenn again in a couple of years because it's the Jets.
It's true, but he did just sign a literal 5-year deal with the Jets.
Still fire him.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but I mean, good financial security for him. The offset for the Lions when he comes back is great.
It's going to be awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't have to pay him anything.
I'm happy for Aaron Glenn, man. He was first-round pick of the Jets. He gets to go back there, and look, it's an uphill climb. I don't know what New York is doing. They continue to make defensive coach hires. I mean, you were talking about this yesterday with Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've at least dabbled in the offensive coaches every now and then. But, I mean, that seems to be the Jets' identity, too, is we're going to go get a really good defensive coach. And, I don't know, we're just going to let our offense blow in the wind.
Yeah, and I get it. Aaron Glenn takes this job because, one, he's familiar with the organization. But, two, if as a defensive guy, you want some pieces to work with.
You got pieces.
Do they have pieces to work with? Yes.
They got the pieces.
Because they've got a stud on the defensive line. They've got a stud pass rusher. And they've got arguably the best corner in the NFL.
Yes.
Like, at all three levels, it's not like you've got, like, some stuff. Like, no, you have premium players at all three levels.
Yeah. Speaking of the Jets and defensive coaches, since the end of the 2000 season, and including now Aaron Glenn, six of their seven head coaching hires have been first-time head coaches with defensive backgrounds. Herm Edwards, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles, Robert Saleh, and now Aaron Glenn. Good and God. The lone exception was Adam Gase.
He worked out really well, though. I wouldn't go back to an offensive coach after Adam Gase. So it makes sense.
Yeah. We tried it once. It was so bad. We're never going there again.
Oh, come on, Nathaniel Hackett was right there.
No, we're not doing that again. We're not going to go down that road. For the Jets, they do have pieces on defense. Look, I don't know. Aaron Glenn, does this mean Aaron Rodgers is coming back? Is that what he's going to be like? Hey, Aaron, my name's Aaron, too. Maybe you won't hate me and turn on me immediately. I don't think that will work. The quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. They've got to figure out that quarterback spot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for them, it's like they can't really dip into the retread well even, because what are you going to do?
Bring Sam Darnold back?
Think of the guys that are out there. It's either Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones. New Yorkers will not like either one of those guys.
No. Especially after the seeing ghosts from Darnold at the end of the season. They're like, no. You're not bringing him back to the haunted house.
Yeah, you're not going to.
No.
Scooby is not going back in that home.
Ruh-roh.
So, Aaron Glenn to the Jets. Good hire.
Get the bag.
Golf clap.
I think they did the right thing.
They got
the best possible coach available, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well,
for them.
See, the guy that I really love, but you're never going to bring him in because of the Aaron Rodgers situation that you have and no quarterback, I like Liam Cohen. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive coordinator. And we talked about this for a while now.
Yeah.
Well, since they fired Doug Peterson, is that there is something with the Jacksonville Jaguars organization that they may say the right things. They may even do the right things.
Or even attempt to do the right things.
But it doesn't work out. Yeah. And it's like always, it seems like maybe their order of operations is all out of whack. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, what is going on there? Then we had Shad Khan in a group Zoom interview say that, asked by a reporter, what would it take to move on from your GM? And he said, well, a new coach, could convince me that we do need a new GM. But, he'd have to say all the right things. His GM, Trent Baalke, was on the Zoom call with him.
Mm-hmm. And the look of like, oh, crap, that washed over his face.
Well, this morning we find out Liam Cohen, who was the odds-on favorite to land that Jags head coaching job, turned it down to return to Tampa as an offensive coordinator. Now, Todd Bowles apparently went to ownership of the Buccaneers and made a compelling case that, hey, we lost Dave Canales last year. We can't lose Liam Cohen this year. He's bright. He's young. He's a really good play caller. And by all accounts, the Bucs ponied up substantial money to keep Liam Cohen as the OC.
Which, if you're motivated to, do it.
Well.
And good shouts to Liam Cohen for having the leverage because of another organization.
Well, the Jags also fired Trent Baalke within hours of that report of Liam Cohen turning down the Jags job.
Yeah.
They finally fired their GM. That is where it goes back to the order of operations are out of whack with this Jags team. Like, they say functional things. Oftentimes they do the right thing. Like, this was the right move, right? You did it all out of whack, though.
Yeah.
And this is where they keep running into the brick wall.
It's not it's not running over the spike strip. It's stepping on the rake. It's like, it's painful, mm-hmm. and it should deter you, but it doesn't. This is the statement from Shad Khan that was given to Adam Schefter. Following several discussions with Trent Baalke this week, we both arrived at the conclusion it's in our mutual best interest to respectfully separate, effective immediately.
Yikes.
Trent leaves us with many leaves us with my deepest appreciation for his efforts over the past five seasons. They nominate the interim GM, and then he goes on with a normal, I am deeply committed to building a winner here in Jacksonville and look forward to inducing a new head coach. We'll make that happen for our players and fans alike, which seems kind of interesting. It's like, hire the GM first, which I'm glad the Raiders did.
Yeah. There's also...
Well, see, the thing is, it's not even just driving over the spikes. It's driving over the spikes and then going, oh, wait, what was that? I better back up and go check again.
Yeah.
And then, oh, yep, that was spikes. Let me go forward again.
And then you drive still a mile down the road and go, do we have a flat tire? Is this thing flat?
I thought you said these were run flats. Yeah, well, yeah, they last a little while, but
who knew? Yeah. There is also kind of this buzz going around with Liam Cohen, too, that he may have not wanted to be a head coach anyways, and this may have just been
a way to make some money,
him to get a bump, because he's actually going around this in a really smart way, in that Liam Cohen is, he hasn't been an offensive coordinator long. He's only been 1 year as an OC. Okay, because Dave Canales was the OC last year. He went up to Carolina as a head coach. He is only 39 years old, which is still in coaching circles young, even though he's not like Sean McVay, Wunderkind. He is still a young coach in the NFL. He said that he wants to grow his coaching circle because he came from the college ranks, and he doesn't have like the NFL background that a lot of these guys who are 39 and become head coaches mm-hmm. have. He was at Kentucky prior to going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Prior to that, he was with the Rams for just 2 years. Then he went to Kentucky, and now he's with the Bucs. Like, he doesn't have, like, if he were to say, all right, Danny, you're hired. Mm-hmm. Who are you hiring? He's like, well, don't really have those connections yet because didn't see this coming.
Well, not only that, I think we've started to see this pattern emerge from younger OCs. Well, I mean, it's younger coordinators in general. They're getting smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just latching onto the new best thing, the working your way up the corporate ladder in the NFL, they're looking at what you're talking about, like having those connections and being able to build a staff and the right situation and the right opportunity and the right general manager and the right owner and the right tools. Like, things are starting to matter to people.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, this isn't something where it's like, I must be a head coach. And it's like, yeah, that's how you get the Josh McDaniels of the world. That's how you get the, God, the Broncos head coach.
Also Josh Hackett. McDaniels.
Well, you know, Nathaniel Hackett. Yeah. When we saw game one, this dude is no business being a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
And it was like, I wonder if seeing some of these coaches fail so miserably as head coaches over the last couple of years has trickled down to some of these assistants and these coordinators.
Yeah, awareness.
And being like, grass ain't always greener, man.
Well, I think overall in coaching, you're seeing that. I've been saying this for years, that this was coming down the pipeline. We saw Chip Kelly give up a head coaching job to go and be an offensive coordinator. Halfley, the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, he was the head coach at Boston College just a year ago. So, I mean, you do see this in the college ranks. In the NFL, I think that you see it quite often. And look, everybody criticizes, you know, Mike Tomlin for not having this coaching tree. You know what Mike Tomlin has? Is he has a bunch of guys who, it's not about a coaching tree. It's about awareness and being great at where you're at and being a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator. Sometimes that's what you need, right? Is just to have those guys on staff who are rank and file guys, not trying to go and be something more. And you're going to see a little bit more of that. Across all levels of football. You don't have to be the head coach. Hey, we have a power shift in college football.
Mm.
And the one person who did not want to admit it, he had to admit it. And I feel like you'll be able to hear the pain in his voice. Mm. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
The Ohio State Buckeyes won the national title on Monday night over Notre Dame. And I don't know if you noticed this, but the last 2 years in the college football playoff, there has not been an SEC team even in the championship game.
That's a shame.
And last year it was Michigan, Washington. This year it's Notre Dame, Ohio State. And the winner of both of those games was the Big Ten team. Michigan in 2024, 2025, it is the Ohio State Buckeyes. And the man who considers himself the most educated football fan in America, though I question that, SEC Homer himself, Mr. Paul Feinbaum,
Paul,
was asked by Mike Greenberg on Get Up about the maybe shift in power in the world of college football.
Does the Big Ten own college football?
The answer, Greeny, is yes. The Big Ten, at the moment, owns college football. And there's no way you can say it doesn't. When you go back-to-back, that's generational. In Ohio State's case, they beat two SEC schools along the way. And there's an old saying that was emanated in 1828 when Andrew Jackson was elected president.
Yes.
Senator from New York said, to the victor belongs the spoils. And that's exactly where the Big Ten is this morning. It's an uncomfortable feeling for the SEC, which has owned the sport, but it's a reality this morning.
When Andrew Jackson was elected president, not a great... not a great president that Andrew Jackson was, but
that's a good thing. That's the one my family's related to.
You can. Ooh, that's tough. that is something that you could hear the pain in Paul Feinbaum's voice when he had to admit the fact the SEC does not hold the power in college football anymore.
I mean, it's we talked about the democratization, as it were, of college football. We've talked about this for the last couple of years. That's what's happened. Is there's the SEC is no longer capable or able to hoard talent on a level heretofore unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one to go back to is Georgia when they were three deep everywhere.
Well, that's why it's so widely mocked when Nick Saban went on Monday and criticized NIL and said the people out there need to know this model's unsustainable. It's which he's right. It's not a sustainable model. But he said it's not good for players. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It absolutely is good for players.
Because they're getting a lot more, because we all know you were paying them a lot less.
He said it has to be done in a way where there's some kind of competitive balance. Every school must have the same thing. One school can't spend $30 million for players while another school is spending $3 million.
Yeah, because you're broke boys. That's the thing. It's like, as much as the SEC, it just means more down here. When they were giving out bags that were more, it was 200,000 versus 300,000, not 2 million versus 3 million.
And
those Big Ten schools, they got a lot more. Michigan and Ohio State have more alumni than anyone else.
Well, here is where nobody in the SEC wants to admit this part too. They're saying that they're not fundraising at the level of those other schools at, you know, the $20 million roster at Ohio State. Well, that's because the money that was going to players, it was like about $3 million, right? Mm-hmm. Tax-free under the table.
Mm-hmm.
That money was still going to players. Yeah. And this is the thing. When Nick Saban says that, it's like, well, you can't be spending, you know, $30 million on a roster for one team and only $3 million on another. What was Nick Saban paid as the head coach at Alabama?
Yeah. Was it $15 million a year?
Okay. I think it was closer to 11, and then his endorsements and stuff like bumped that up.
Well, no, it was his last year he got 15 because he got matched to the highest contract.
You know what, though? Don't you think it's a little unfair, Nick, that Alabama could pay you that salary, but poor little Oregon State, they can't do that to their coach. Maybe you should get your. You're right, Nick. It's not fair. These adults.
Yes, you should probably give your money back, Nick.
We should have no competitive advantage anywhere.
You used it to buy another 16 Cadillac dealerships?
Is it a competitive... It's just unfair that Oregon has these great facilities and Mississippi State doesn't.
Huh.
What is he talking about? Like, this is the whole thing with... There's always been competitive imbalance, whether it was the region that your school was in, whether it was how much your boosters could pay your head coach, whether it was your boosters under the table with the bagmen paying the players, facilities. There's always been a competitive imbalance. And now that the players are getting money is where it's like, whoa, 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 we need to rein this in. No. Don't give me that. There is the haves and the have-nots. Yeah. There always have been the haves
and the
have-nots.
The problem is they've become the have-nots, and they don't like it.
No. No, and that's...
It's not fun when the rabbit's got the gun.
This is always what happens when there is a landscape shift and change.
This is what we talk about with power vacuums. When the SEC had all the power, it was totally, everything was fine. Status quo was fine. We don't need to make any changes. But now all of a sudden that because here's the deal, like when these TV deals fall off and we move to the super conferences, there's going to be an even further leveling out. Because if you think that the Big Ten is going to make less than the SEC, you're out of your bleeping mind. You're out of your mind. It's not going to happen. They're going to be on the same level footing. And that extra SEC money that they've been getting for the years, that's going away. That's good because they're going to be on the same level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then what do they complain about when that's level two?
Well, there's been a lot that has gone into this, and this has kind of been, it's been a dramatic shift with NIL and the transfer portal happening all at once, right? And you're seeing these guys that can go and they can transfer from an SEC school to a Big Ten school and get over that hump immediately. And like Caleb Downs is a great one. He's a guy that's a guy that Nick Saban recruited to Alabama. It's a guy that Nick Saban gave NIL money to at Alabama. He goes and he's like, I'm out. Deuces. Like, I want to go and win the championship. I'm looking at Alabama. They're going to give me a big chunk of money. It's a team that is ready to win a title. I want to go and I want to do that. And he did, right? Like, there is that aspect of it that a lot of people don't like. And look, with a new coach, I think that changes things. You could throw that all out the window. When you get a new coach in,
sure, yeah,
that is so different.
Yeah, no, that's just that's an entire.
But the hoarding thing of talent is where a lot of the SEC has come back down to earth.
Yes.
Because guys are like, I don't really need to stick around home. I can go across the country.
Also, Quinyon Mitchell, the guy that we're talking about, is so important. What school did he go to?
Toledo.
What school went after him?
Alabama.
Okay. Yeah. You can go get the money. You can go get your time. You can still get in the NFL and you can shine anywhere. For all of the, do you want to come to Alabama and go to the NFL? Brother, scouting's different now.
Yeah.
If you are one of them boys, you're going to league.
Mm-hmm.
Period, point blank. And you can get your money.
Yeah, but you...
And you get the proliferation of talent that just spreads out.
When everybody is leaving, you can't stockpile your talent and just say, we're going to win. Boom, yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Like, Notre Dame this year, one of the incredible things about their run was how banged up they really were. Mm-hmm. On the defense, offensive line and their defense was... Yep. They had injuries across the board. But when you don't have teams that are three deep just waiting with dude after dude after dude.
NFL dude.
Like that.
It changes.
I think it's good for college football. No. And we're seeing, now granted, Michigan and Ohio State have won the national titles. Let's not act like we got new blood winning titles again.
No, you have the oldest of blue bloods in the country.
But you're allowing the opportunity for other schools to rise up and to take a little bit of that power away. And it's going to be a tough pill to swallow for the SEC. You could hear it, especially with Paul Feinbaum having to admit the Big Ten has passed the
for
SEC.
Now.
For and that, it
that
is.
Was, well, that was the funny part, though, is he made sure he's like, for now. Like, you, there's a.
Do you want. To, the SEC may start pooling their money together in order to. Like,
hey, Dusty, where's Walmart?
They're going to be sitting there, Arkansas. Okay. They're going to be like, all right, guys, we need to build a $40 million roster for the betterment of the SEC as a whole. And they're just going to be like, we're going to draw straws. Mm-hmm. Then when Vanderbilt gets that winning straw and they get a $40 million roster, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be so much fun.
But, you know, that won't happen.
So many goalposts in the river. Great. It's funny you mentioned Notre Dame. We got Worst Day on the Web coming up, but then we have some breaking Notre Dame news that we'll get to after Worst Day on the Web.
Bum, bum, bum.
Our Worst Day on the Web, though, is, let he who is not at least around our age, he or she, who may or may not have hopped on a MAX train for a little cheap fare to get around Portland. It's one thing. But what if you do it while hanging onto the edge of a 175-mile-an-hour train?
Nope.
Ooh, doggy. Well, we'll get to that here on the Worst Day on the Web. First, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna Burger?
This is a Conference Championship Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
This sounds like a terrible, terrible thing to do. A 40-year-old Hungarian national held onto a bracket in between two carriages of a German high-speed train when he stepped out in between the doors to have a cigarette break in between stops.
Mm-mm.
He had to hold on to said train at 175 miles an hour. He lived.
Whoa.
He did not fall. I don't. Is it worth it at that point?
To live?
To fair hop?
Oh, no.
That was the thing. It was a fair hop.
No, I would say no. That seems like you're gonna die.
I mean, basically people on the train saw this guy hanging on outside onto the cabling. Like, again, he's not hanging on like outside of the train, like in a movie. like a spy. Mm-hmm. It's the in-between cars, but you're still going very, very, very fast, and you are not supported or held in any way, shape, matter, or form.
Was he able to still smoke his cig?
I would imagine
because I think
not.
To this Hungarian man,
that cigarette might have been the most important part of it.
If it's just dangling from his lip as he's just hanging on there, I could see that being worth it for him. Yeah.
It's all very
How long
dumb.
Did he go?
Let's see. The inner city express train was a 6-hour journey to the northern city of Lübeck from Ingolstadt.
Sure. Not familiar.
But yeah, it looks like he was out there for quite some time.
Damn.
Yeah, it was, again, it makes stops, but doesn't appear like it makes very frequent stops. They added that the fare dodging passenger was amazingly unharmed, and they handed him over to the federal police.
Was he how did they catch him? Were they just like...
They saw him like outside the window.
Was he screaming like, cars. This was a bad idea?
Yelling something in Hungarian, I would imagine.
Which it's probably sounds pretty angry. I've never heard Hungarian.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of those languages, the Slavic region and former Soviet unions, yeah. they have that German tone to them.
Sure.
Where to some angry rhetoric sounding. Like, I've never once heard in my life German sound mild.
Nope.
Like, you can hear Italian, you can hear French, you can hear Spanish, you can hear pretty much any of the North African dialects, any of the Arabic or Farsi dialects, and they can sound smooth, they can sound nice and romantic even. Greek, you know? German? Mm-mm. Nein!
Mm-mm.
It's never one of those things that's just, even when it's said nicely,
always mad.
It's just, yeah.
The guy.
A lot of the Balkan languages kind of have that too. Also, but they can sound better.
About you.
Yeah. They can sound better, you know?
Maybe he was just out there tapping on the glass like the old Mervyn's commercial, just going open.
How do you say open in Hungarian?
I don't know. I just imagine. I hope
open,
he had that.
Open.
I just.
Open!
I hope he had that dart just dangling, just burning, just like, oh boy.
Is there anything? Nietet. That's open. Sounds like yeah.
That sounds like Russian.
Yeah, but I mean, regionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. But it's also interesting. It looks like there's different versions of it. So there's open, fenceless, open-minded, overt.
Oh, sure.
So that's Nietat or Nielit.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. We learned Russian or Hungarian, too.
Hungarian.
Let's go.
The more you know. Is there anything that you would... Be like, you know what? I'm going to do this for
that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's life or death situation.
But outside of that.
No.
Like not even your young dumb days.
Oh, young dumb days. Those are all out the window. Yeah.
Because okay. He is 40. He is our age.
You're talking about like, I mean, Ghost Riding the Whip became popularized when we were in college.
You're not
so
wrong.
I got a buddy who ran himself over with his own car. He's fine.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He got in front of the door. Knocked him down.
No, he just tripped. Back wheel went over him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was fine. He was fine. But then I was like, that's why I'd never do it, dude.
Oh, my God. That's why you have somebody in the passenger seat, so they can.
Nobody was in Nobody in your seat either.
Boy.
we laugh because he's okay.
Yeah. It's not you don't call him Stubbs McGillicuddy really?
No. Okay. There's several other things that we could criticize him harshly for. But
he's not Lieutenant Danny.
That one's just one of them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean the road rash was incredible.
Oh, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was a forerunner too.
Ooh, that's a heavy vehicle. It's like, it's one thing if the Civic does it, you're like, didn't feel good.
Idiot.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's tough. All right, so that's our worst day on the web. It's just one of those ones. I had some others, but I looked at that, and I was like, 175 miles an hour, huh?
That is so fast.
Like, I don't think people truly comprehend how fast that is.
I would think that kind of wind, though, would make that cigarette burn a heck of a lot faster.
He was in between the cars.
The wind's going to tuck in there, because it's like, there's openings there.
Yeah. I think this guy, what's his name?
It just said a Hungarian national. They didn't have a name for him. Hungarian national would be a cool name, though.
Was it? Hungarian national? Sounds like a hot dog brand.
Well, this is like, and this it says, this is not the first time this has happened. In 2017, a Romanian man survived clinging onto the side of the train, traveling at 99 miles an hour for 15 miles after realizing he had left his luggage on the train. My man really wanted his luggage, but he did the superhero thing of like clinging onto the edge.
What was in his bags that he did not want other people
probably
to find?
A lot of drugs.
Yeah, yeah. That's worth it for him.
Yeah. If I don't get these drugs back, I'm dead. So either way, I'm dead. God. All right. So that's our worst day on the web. We did get a little bit of breaking news going into that little seggy. I think it's definitely worth talking about. Because
it's big.
We talked about some changes for a couple other football teams. There's a big one for the national title run-up Notre Dame. Uh-oh. And we'll get to that here coming up next on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. There's another team that's going to be missing their coordinator as well. Al Golden, now the former defensive coordinator for Notre Dame, is headed to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Ah.
Cincinnati Bengals obviously let go of Lou Anarumo, who has now since signed with, drawing a blank.
No idea where Lou Anarumo
Colts.
Is.
Thank you. I could see blue, but I was like, it's not the Lions. They still need to replace their defensive coordinator. But this is a bit of a surprise, isn't it?
No, Al Golden went to Notre Dame from Cincinnati, where he was the linebackers coach in 2020-2021-ish. So that it does make sense. They have that opening, and look, Al Golden, for his faults as a head coach, he was really good at Temple. Remember, he went from Temple, and he made Temple into a winner. Yeah, the Temple Owls, he made them into a winner. And then he got the Miami job and could not get Miami over the hump, right? And so he got canned there. And, like, it's amazing what failing as a head coach can do for you and what you are perceived as. He is a really damn smart defensive mind. And you look at what he was able to do with that Notre Dame defense and take the stylings of the NFL, because that's where he went immediately after getting fired from Miami, was he went to the NFL and sharpened his sword in the NFL, gets the DC job at Notre Dame, does an incredible job with Marcus Freeman in that roster. They play for a national title this year, and now he gets a chance to go back to Cincy where he was before. He has a relationship with Zach Taylor. And look, they need an upgrade on the defensive side. I don't think it was, you know, Lou Anarumo wholly responsible, but you're bringing back the guy who was a linebackers coach there when your defense was humming, and they'll have some familiarity with his system, his style of play. And so you're not overhauling everything completely, but you're getting just a different voice in the room. And I think that can go a long way in that scheme-wise, you're not going to have to learn the new language.
No.
Right? But it's a new voice trying to get it through to you. I actually like that move for Zach Taylor, because
he's probably on thin ice, too. So he's going with something he trusts.
It wasn't something completely broken either.
Yeah.
It could just be, hey, we have a messaging issue. And when you have a guy who's fallen out of the good graces of the locker room, move on, bring somebody in who can get through to those guys. So, good.
The Bengals should be a lot better than they have been.
Oh, my gosh.
For multiple reasons. Now, they did have a ton of injuries. But
yeah.
The position that they found themselves in, it's not one that... I don't think you can just... Like you said, I don't think it's this one of those things where you can just fix it through coordinator. Like, what are the additional things that they need to kind of figure out in this next cycle?
Well, I mean, a lot of it, what we heard this time and time again, right? That there was the issue of their offense needed to play perfectly. I mean, it was like you had to be perfect.
Hell, there was actually probably a couple games where they were and still lost.
Yeah. And so you're not really that far. Like, Cincinnati's not that far off.
No.
If you look at how many one-score games do they have?
10?
Well, I think it might have been even 11. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12.
Good God.
No, 11. It was 11. And 11 one-score games. And those are even counting the ones that they did win.
Okay.
Right?
How many of those did they win?
Four.
Oh, God.
So, went 4-7.
So you flip three,
mm-hmm.
and they're an 11-win team.
Yeah. And if you look at it, you go, New England out of the gate. They lose 16-10. Not your defense's fault.
No.
Okay. That was, remember, Jamar Chase, that was his first game back after the holdout was severely limited.
And Burrow was rusty. Like, everything about it was just clanky.
26-25 to the Chiefs on the road.
Which?
38-33 to the Commanders.
Yeah.
Okay. 41-38 to the Ravens. Yeah, right? You're giving up 41 points. Get a stop. Yeah. That thing goes differently. Right? You also had a 35-34 loss to the Ravens. Right? Get yourself a stop, make a play here or there. 34-27 to the Chargers.
Against an offense that was not productive.
44-38 to the Steelers.
I mean, offense is not productive.
If you are giving up 40 points in the NFL, it's crazy.
Honestly, if you're giving up 25 plus to either of those offenses and the Chargers or Steelers, that is a problem. So those two games alone,
mm-hmm.
you're now at 10 wins. What else we got on there that they didn't?
Patriots.
That one I'll throw away because of week one with Jamar and Burrow and everything being disjointed. You shouldn't, but it was janky in that first week.
I think you could throw out there the 41-38 loss to the Ravens. Because 41 points...
It's too much.
Too much.
But I'm also saying Ravens... Okay. You know what I mean?
But like, I mean, yeah, they're a good enough team, though, where...
You should have gotten a stop there.
Yeah. Get a stop.
Is there not one other game on there that was like... pretty clear, like they should have gotten something out of it.
Commanders, but they also...
But also the Commanders are a really good team.
NFC Championship, yeah.
So their losses, other than the Patriots... Well, I should say Patriots, Steelers, Chargers. And you could say...
Two of those teams are playoff teams, though.
Yes, and very well coached.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about three very bad offenses.
Yeah.
And you gave up... Well, I guess the Patriots, you didn't give up any points. Your offenses didn't do anything. The other ones, you gave up way more points than you should have.
I'm looking back at that Cincinnati game. They got an interception late in the game, field goal to tie the game. And then in overtime, Cincinnati missed the field goal after the Ravens fumbled on their opening drive of overtime. So, I mean, that's not wholly on your defense, but you still gave up 41 points.
That's a big number. That's a crooked number.
It's huge.
So
huge.
All right, coming up in hour number three, I actually want to revisit the Blazers because we didn't talk too much about the actual game itself. We went kind of grand scheme. What do we kind of see from the Trail Blazers with a bit of a weird lineup? Scoot Henderson kind of picking things up for another game, and where they kind of go for from here in hour number three. Danny and Dusty, 10 to the Fan.